Good afternoon, members. I'll now call the Choice and Innovation Subcommittee meeting to order. Misty, please call the roll.
Chair Tuck.
Here.
Vice Chair Coster.
Here.
Ranking Member Valdez.
Present.
Representative Altman. Representative Amnesty.
Here.
Representative Baker.
Here.
Representative Bankson.
Here.
Representative Basabi.
Here.
Representative Chambliss.
Here.
Representative Dunkley.
Here.
Representative Garcia.
Present.
Representative McLean.
Here.
Representative Nixon.
Here.
Representative Persons Mulica.
Here.
Representative Porras.
Here.
Representative Roach.
Present.
Representative Stark.
Here.
Representative Waldron.
Here.
Thank you, Misty. Members, by your presence, we have a quorum. Please remember to silence all electronic devices, go through the chair before speaking, and turn on your microphone so we can have everything loud and clear. And members, we have two bills on the agenda for today. We will now take up HB 477 by Representative Rizzo relating to term limits for district school board members. Representative Rizzo, you are recognized to present.
Thank you very much, Chair. And it's a pleasure to present before you. So Chair Tuck, Vice Chair Coster, Ranking Member Valdez, members, and of course, especially Representative Porras, thank you very much for hearing and allowing me to present HB 477 before you today. This bill seeks to limit school board districts members to two consecutive four-year terms, beginning with the November 2022 election. And that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Rizzo. Members, are there any questions? Representative Porras, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's an honor to ask my former boss some questions today on his bill. Representative Rizzo, what do you see as some of the benefits of limiting school board members to a max of eight consecutive years?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for that question, Grasshopper. Excuse me. So some of the benefits, there are myriad benefits to, as I see, to limiting school board members in Florida to two consecutive four-year terms. And I'll just go over a few of them. Number one, it would foster regular open seat elections. Number two, encourage independence by the school board, as term limits will regularly serve or sever relationships that grow between special interests and incumbent board members. Another one, it improves citizen access to the process. Another one, it encouraged candidates to run for office and work on meaningful campaigns and increase voter participation in elections. It would encourage new faces and fresh ideas. And I don't have to remind everyone, but I'll say it on the record. All of us are a part of the eight-year term limit process. And we've got some great fresh faces that we all serve with, and it's an honor to do so. It also mandates rotation in office. And this expands the circle of citizens with intimate knowledge of community needs. And there's many of them that you know, obviously, that I can go through, and I'd be happy to go through more in detail with you.
Representative Roach, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative, for bringing the bill. I know that we had several discussions about what the length should be, and there were some of our colleagues that were advocating for a four-year term limit, perhaps, or even a six-year term limit. And I was wondering how you got to the eight.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. You know, Representative, I know that we've had several for the past 3 years that we've served together. We've had a lot of conversations with several members, in fact, about term limits. And really, this is a great, I believe it is a great spot to be in. It fully aligns with constitutional officers for the state of Florida. I have data that shows that more and more increasing numbers of citizens in the state of Florida are polling at a much higher rate, supermajority levels, that do want and encourage eight-year term limits. In fact, there is one such poll, and I could give you the data as to which one if you wanted me to. That was conducted in 2019, where only 10% of respondents said that they wanted 12-year term limits or more. Over 84% in that poll did say that they wanted 8-year term limits. So that's pretty much where we've come to this.
Let's see, who do we have? Oh, Representative Basabi, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you for this presentation and this bill, Representative.
Would this change in term limits trigger that all school board seats to be up for reelection at the same time?
You're recognized.
Thank you. No, sir. Currently, school board terms are staggered. So, for example, in my home district, your home district in Miami-Dade County, we have 9 seats that are single members. Those are staggered, so not all of them would trigger this. Whomever would fall into being elected starting November of 2022, currently under this bill, that would start the timeline. So whomever was, everyone would be on an 8-year clock, but some members around the state would have elections in 2 years, some would be in 4 years.
May I ask a follow-up?
Follow-up.
Thank you. Would this change be retroactive to a board member's current term of office?
Thank you, Chair. No, sir. So if, say, for example, before November of 22, we did have someone that was on the board for 2 years, they would complete that 2 year, or that would not count towards the 8 years. It would be 8 years after anyone was elected November 8th or November of 2022. So we do have in some cases where you have school boards, and again, I could always show you the data later on, but we have some that have served 4 years. We have some that have served 6 years around the state. That would not affect that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Member Valdez, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and hi, Rep. Rizzo. You mentioned a poll. Can we have access to that poll?
Recognized.
Absolutely. I have, in my notes right now, I have 2. And if Chair would indulge me, I'll go over that right now, and I could give it to you later.
You could just send it to me via email. That'd be great. I'd love to see the poll in its actuality.
Sure thing.
Thank you.
Members, any additional questions? All righty, seeing none, we'll move on to the amendments. There are no amendments, so let's go ahead and move on to public testimony. First up, we have Chris Doolin with the Small School District Council Consortium. You're recognized.
Thank you, ma'am, and Madam Chair. I'm pleased to testify before you. I've worked with your dad. I've worked with your grandmother, and Vice Chairman and Ranking Member, and all the alumni of Miami Senior High School who are here, and the friends of my daughter-in-law that are here as well. So I'd like to thank you. Look, this issue has been considered by this legislature specifically for at least 8 years, and it failed to pass every year until last year. Last year, the legislature passed 1467, and that bill, when originally filed, combined the library review process for age-appropriate books with a compensation issue, that the elimination of compensation. And the legislature, the bill was amended in the process to eliminate the compensation, because that was a pretty egregious proposal, and they added 8 years in the House, and it passed the House with 8 years. Went over to the Senate, and it was amended to 12 years. The limitation went into effect for the first time this year, in 2022. So those folks that have been elected in 2022 will be able to run 4 years from now, and then another 4 years, and have 12 years. For those that were elected in 2020, none of that affects them. And under current law, in 24, when they run, they will have 3 4-year terms available. That was what folks agreed to. That's what those of you who were here last year, not all of you, voted in favor of. You voted in favor of a 12-year term limit. And it passed basically on a partisan. So predominantly, that's what happened. So focusing on the bill, I'd rather not look at this from the standpoint of term limits. This is about taking a conservative approach to governing. This bill opposes an unnecessary government regulation. This bill does not support maximum choice. The bill is contrary. It's a restrictive regulation that reduces the candidate pool, and that's already limited 8 years, and it restricts choice. So, and I'll wrap it up here. The question, should an individual, a lot of you are new, you came here with your own thoughts, should an individual have the right to offer themselves to run for a local election, whether they win or they lose, should they be able to choose to run? The other issue is, should a voter have the right to choose the individual that they would like, whether they've been 4 years, 8 years, or 12 years? Should they have the right, or should there be an arbitrary limit that kicks somebody out that the voters choose to vote? Now, at this time, parental engagement is at an all-time high. Advocacy and engagement in local school districts, you know this, has never been greater. From the governor involving endorsing to local organizations, and the process changes school board members. So you may agree with me that constituents in your community that know school board members the best are parents. This bill restricts parents from supporting individuals that they would like to support. So I'm asking you to oppose this unnecessary regulation and protect choice, maximum choice that doesn't limit a person from running and doesn't limit a voter from supporting a candidate of their choice. And I just ask you to consider that. I'm pretty confident what's going to happen. And I wanted to make these comments so as you go through the process, these issues are out there as it goes through other committees. So thank you, Madam Chair. Appreciate it.
Thank you for being here, Mr. Doolin. Next up, Sean Frost, speaking as a proponent of the bill. You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee. My name is Sean Frost. I'm a recovering school board member. had the opportunity to serve the great district of Indian River County as a board member and chairman. And I've worked on a couple school board campaigns here and there. And I'm a proponent of the bill because 8 is great and we need to shelve 12. And I'll tell you why. I worked on the 8 is great campaign with Erica Donalds. It is bizarre to me that school board members are thought to require 12 years to accomplish their agendas when the leader of the free world only gets 8 years. The leader of the great state of Florida only gets 8 years. The illustrious members of this body only get 8 years to accomplish what's necessary. So for that reason, uniformity would be reasonable at this point. So I would have liked to see it as a HJR, as a joint resolution, because in Constitution, you know, we're back hearing it again, which is a good thing. I do thank the bill sponsor and the chair for hearing this bill. It's an outstanding bill. We look forward to see it move forward. And really, that's it. Big supporter of term limits. And, you know, it's interesting that the lobbyist is against term limits. The school board member is for it because, you know, I know what it takes to do the job, and fresh faces, fresh perspectives, and fresh opportunities are a good thing in governance. And for that reason, I urge your support. Thank you and good day.
Mr. Frost, thank you for being here. Last, we have Amanda Prater with the Opportunity Solutions Project, waves in support. And seeing no further public testimony, members, we are now in debate. Any members wishing to debate? Representative Chambliss, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Definitely appreciate everyone's comments concerning this bill, especially the two public speakers. Definitely gave me some new insight on ways in which I can look at this particular bill and kind of analyze it. So I definitely appreciate that. But as far as my vote, you know, as a member from Miami-Dade County, just recently, Miami-Dade County had a countywide, ballot initiative to change term limits for county commissioners, and that was overwhelmingly supported to where we had some county commissioners, actually like my former boss, who had been on the county commission for 20 plus years. definitely staples of the community, but the trend of the Miami-Dade County residents was that they wanted to make sure that there was fresh and new leadership given an opportunity to serve, as well as that no train of thought would stay inside of one silo for too long. Many times when you have someone that is there for so long, their perception is only theirs, and it gives 8 years, our term limits, gives an opportunity for fresh, new perspective on what the community needs, and gives the community another opportunity to select who can necessarily lead them in that particular desired effort. So for that reason, I'm going to be supporting this because it goes along with the trends of Miami-Dade County, and I encourage the rest of you to support it as well. Thank you.
Representative Porras, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Rizzo, for this incredible bill. Again, I just wanted to vocalize my support and comment on some of the words that were said earlier today in regards to choice. I think it's ludicrous that the debate against this bill being choice, that the people may vote for whoever they may say. That is the same argument that is used in many communist countries like Cuba, Venezuela, to still put people on the same ballot, whether or not, you know, they've been there for 10, 20 years. So I think that's ludicrous. I think many of the colleagues here on this board, like we said, would not be here if not for term limits. So that same uniformity should be for our school board members. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Valdez. You're recognized in debate.
Wow. Okay. All right, guys. I know that I'm in the super minority, but if anything has to do with experience on the school board, Lord knows I have it. I take offense to be comparing school board members or school board positions to a communist country. That is furthest from any mentality that should be up here. So, number one, I'll share a quick story. My alma mater. I wear this lanyard proudly, only because I want to show my children in my district what's their potential of where they could reach. There was a time when I was elected to the school board in 2004, that those students had no vision of being able to accomplish anything at all. This high school had a 64% graduation rate. Mr. Frost mentioned 8 years. That only works if you have a cohesive superintendent, whether they are elected or appointed to work with that school board member in their single member district to make the magic happen. If you don't have that, it ain't gonna happen. It took me, against all odds, for the children in my district to have the opportunity to have a good graded school with faculty that cared, with leadership that really believed in these students to make that magic happen. You know how long it took me to say I had no DRF schools in my district? 10 years. Why? I didn't have leadership, nor the 4 votes to get rid of poor leadership. So for me, my school board years were the most rewarding public service ever. It took me 8 years, 10 years to be able to make a difference in my district because leadership lacked. From the superintendency all the way to the administrators. Because unless you have 4 votes on a school board, that leader can do whatever the heck they want because they have their votes. Just like here, we are in the super minority. Y'all in the super majority. Y'all can do what you want because you can. And you have the votes. Yet we're talking about children and opportunities for children. We're not talking, we're talking here about adults. To make it clear, odd districts run with the presidential election. Even districts run in the midterm elections. That's how that works. I agree, new faces, fresh ideas. I was one of those. And it took me that long to be able to effectuate positive change in a community that was blighted, that no one believed in. Whether they were poor white students, black students, and the majority of the students that I serve are English language learners. They had been written off. 12 years, if we really want to do the work, let's take the politics out of it. I'm talking about kids and the adults being able to do right by kids and not think about their next position of whether they're going to be area superintendent or rise up and go to another district and become the rock star superintendent or make it to the commissioner of education. Those are all fine and dandy ideas and desires to reach those positions, absolutely. But at the cost of what? Our children? Really? So I knew when it was my turn to go, because guess what? Mic drop. I left my district with all three of my high schools with above 90%, including my alma mater. I'm proud of that work. And to hear people, my colleagues, demonize and talk about school boards? Come on, guys. We're better than that. At least I thought we were. So I'm down on this bill because of the fact that I know, and maybe I might be a rare bird of a school board member, I don't know. But to hear the things that I'm hearing out of people's mouths, how can you believe what you're saying? I can't support this, Rep. Rizzo, and we've had that conversation. And it's only because of my experience on the Hillsborough County Public School Board and the plight to be able to help who is now 38% of the student population look like you and me. Who's going to stand up for those kids when you have people that don't care about the kids that look like you and I? 12 years is ample time to be able to effectuate change, because once you're able to prove to three other members that this is not right and the data shows it, eventually you'll wind up with the four votes to get rid of the inept superintendent that's not doing the day-to-day like they should. Board members should be looking at the financial stature of their district, alongside with student achievement as the number one goal as a school district. I wasn't intending on debating today, but the things that I'm hearing out of my colleagues' mouths just really just triggered. This is the United States of America. And Florida is a part of the United States of America. It's not its own country. Yet I feel as though I am in a foreign country. For that and for many other reasons, I can't support this today.
Additional debate members? Representative Stark, you're recognized.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairman, and Rep. Rizzo, thank you for bringing this forward. I will be up on this bill. This aligns with all of the elections and the offices that we have in our county. And so it makes sense to me that we kind of keep everything on an even playing field, and I think it works really well for elections in general. So thank you very much.
Additional debate. Anybody else? Representative Garcia, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Rizzo, for bringing this bill. And I will be voting up on this bill. And I also want to thank Representative Porras for all his questions. They answered mine. Thank you.
Representative Amnesty, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Rizzo, I just want to share that term limits is a key element to the democratic process, and I commend you for this amazing policy. We truly need it now more than ever. When we look at other countries, foreign countries, they don't have term limits, and we know what it has hindered and caused into the process and the well-being of our communities. Term limits is essential across the board. Thank you so much for this policy, and you have my full support. Thank you.
Representative Nixon, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to be down on this bill, but I think we need to, like, recalibrate here on this committee. The fact that we're continually demonizing public schools is absolutely absurd. Many of us came from public school systems. And to, again, to echo what Representative Valdez said, that's a slap in the face to compare school board members and school boards to communist countries. Like, that's, it's mad disrespectful. We are a democratic country, a democratic state, and we need to check the politics at the door, because we're discussing children. And children's lives are at stake, particularly Black and brown children, who are honestly educated more in public schools than private schools. And so I'm not with the polarization that's happening here, but that's not what we came up here to do. Not only are you representing the 150,000 folks in your county or your district, but you're representing all the folks across this state. That's all I have to say. I'm sorry.
Seeing no further debate, Representative Rizzo, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, members, for the ongoing debate and for being open to all of my phone calls and questions. Thank you so much. We've had great, respectful dialogue, and as has always been my experience here with all of our members on both sides of the aisle, and I hope to continue if we are if this bill passes this committee, I hope to continue that debate and that dialogue. Just quickly to address some of the comments. And public testimony, you know, we did have a bill that a colleague of mine, Sam Garrison, Representative Sam Garrison, carried last year. That was the bill that was mentioned that ultimately ended up in 12 years. And yes, it did pass the House with 8 years. And so we're back again. Only this time, as the gentleman mentioned, this is a clean bill. You've all read the bill. It is less than one page. You saw my opening. It is very simple. So that's what it is. No politics involved here. This is what it is. We talk about restricting choice. I argue that this enhances choice. It allows for more choice, because we've seen, and the trend and the data is there, and I'll share that with Representative Valdez and everyone else, that the trend is that incumbents become stronger over the last 12 years. That is the trend in Florida for school boards. Also, we talk about advocacy and engagement is at an all-time high. Absolutely it is. I think we saw that in the last election. And I would say that with that advocacy or with that advocacy and engagement, Representative Valdez, if you went back to the school board, you would mic drop within 8 years. With your tenacity and your zeal as an advocate for children, I have no doubt 8 years would be more than enough for you to affect change where you needed it. I know that. In fact, I know it from every single member that I see before me. We talk about experience, and I'm going to finish on this, Chair. I began my career in education, in public education, in 1996 as a teacher. Barbara Goldman High School, Go Gators, in Hialeah / Miami Lakes, Florida. That year, in my district, the school district that I live in, District 4 in Hialeah in Florida, or in Miami-Dade, a school board member was elected. That school board member just ran for re-election in 2022. 26 years an incumbent. 26 years as an incumbent. I think that was plenty of time to affect change and probably enough time to say, let's get fresh ideas. Let's get things going. It's a different world. Information is at our fingertips like never before. The world, the communication net in the world is like never before. And so I think that 8 years is plenty of time. And so with that, I do ask for your favorable support. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Misty, please call the roll.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Amnesty?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Basabi?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Dunkley?
No.
Garcia?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Nixon?
No.
Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Porras?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Valdez?
No.
Waldron?
No.
And Chair Tuck?
Yes. Members, by your vote, show HB 477 reported favorably. Congratulations. We will now take up HJR 31 by Representative Roach relating to partisan elections for members of district schools, school boards. And Representative Roach, you are recognized.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Madam Chair and Vice Chair Coster, Ranking Member Valdez, Representative Porras, esteemed members of the committee. Thank you for hearing this bill. House Joint Resolution 31 proposes an amendment to the Florida Constitution requiring that members of a district school board be elected in a partisan position. That is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you for the explanation. Members, are there questions? Representative Nixon, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What's the purpose of this bill, Rep?
You're recognized.
Thank you. You know, for me, when I explain this bill, I explain to people this is not about, at least for me, advancing the causes of one political party over another. But it, for me, it's about transparency. And I simply believe that we have an obligation to give voters as much information about a candidate as possible and let them make a decision about vetting a candidate. So for me, this is about transparency on the ballot. That's what it's about for me. And will this result in more Republicans getting elected in Republican counties and Democrats getting elected in Democrat counties? Probably, almost certainly. But my goal with this resolution is to increase transparency on the ballot.
Follow up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In regards to this bill, so is it more important to be concerned with politics, or is it more important to be concerned with educating our students?
Recognized.
Madam Chair, I believe that that question falls outside the scope of the bill, but I'll take a shot at it. I don't think those things are mutually exclusive.
Follow up?
I'll come back. I'll open it up.
Representative Chambliss, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In this bill, does it allow for any particular member of a political party or any political party to run on that platform? For example, the Green Party.
Madam Chair? Yeah, absolutely. And let me talk about that. That seems to be a theme, and maybe this will help address Rep. Nixon's question. You know, when you think about sort of
partisanship in these elections, a number of folks have approached me back home and around the state and have advocated, hey, I think that this bill is going to inject more politics into school board elections. And that shouldn't be. And I would say, to a large extent, I agree that you want to keep politics out of the schoolhouse. And, you know, if you truly desire to vote for a nonpartisan candidate and to keep politics out of school board elections, you should support my bill. Because right now, I'll give you an example. In Lee County, we have had an NPA on the school board for 12 years. And no one knew who that was. No one knew she was an NPA because she was not allowed to put that on the ballot. But if you truly want to vote for a candidate that's not dogmatic, that doesn't have any ties or allegiances to any party platform, you should be voting for NPAs. And the only way you can do that is to know who they are on the ballot. And so I think if that's truly your goal, you should support the bill. And I would also point out that one objection I get is, oh, well, NPAs are not a real party. If you look back at 5 to 7 years of Florida voting statistics, NPA registration is outpacing voter registration for Republicans and Democrats. It's not even close as a percentage. Raw numbers, maybe not, but as a percentage, that's absolutely the case. So I think that's a specious argument to make when you say that can't happen, or NPA can't get elected. It happened in Lee County. Thank you.
Follow up?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Madam Chair. That actually leads to another question. So someone can run as an NPA, I didn't realize that was a political party, or that an NPA was considered partisan. Because some people say they're NPA, some people say they're independent. So, yeah, can you kind of explain that to me? Like, how does someone run as an NPA as their political party for the school board?
Recognized.
Yep. Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, right now, under current law, you can't disclose that on a ballot. Members are allowed to use the cover of the law to hide their political party affiliation for voters, which I think is wrong. But so in Florida, people often confuse what's considered in many other states as an independent. In Florida, that's an NPA, or non-party affiliated candidate. But that is a party designation, just like a Democrat or Republican or Green Party or any other. I mean, I think there are upwards of 20 plus recognized parties in the state of Florida, that NPA being one of them. So people like to use the term independent and NPA interchangeably, but in Florida, we recognize that NPA and has the same status as a Democrat or a Republican or other recognized party.
Last one, and I'll open it up.
Follow up.
So if someone runs as an NPA, being that it is not a party that has a philosophy or has a takes potential stances on issues, and there's so many people that, you know, affiliate with that that the political spectrum of their thought processes has to be very broad. How do we know exactly what that person believes in if they run as an NPA?
You recognize?
Well, I'll take a stab at it. You know, I think it would be the same vetting process that you would use to vet any other candidate of any other party, and we do that in Florida in primary elections, right? So the NPAs, if you had more than one of those, they would be running in an NPA primary. Very seldom, very rarely happens in the state of Florida, but that primary process is the vetted mechanism for candidates in any party. And beyond that, I mean, even if you have one candidate in a race, that those traditional vetting procedures that we have all been through, knocking on doors, talking to voters, presenting yourself at a town hall, taking Q&A, attending forums, I think that would be the mechanism, as it is with any other race, in terms of vetting any individual candidate believes.
Representative Dunkley, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you. My question is regarding this bill, regarding the having a partisan approach. If I was to answer one of my constituents on the reason for changing from one to the other, you may have said it before, but I probably missed it. But I want to be clear so I can answer that question to my constituent as to why our school board members should be a partisan position as opposed to nonpartisan.
Representative, I think that was asked and answered, but if you want to give a short version.
Let me correct one thing that maybe we're not understanding here. So this resolution in and of itself does not change anything. This is an HJR. All that this does is it allows the voters to answer that question. All this does is present a question to the voters on a ballot, and it lets the voters of Florida decide the issue. So if you're for or against this bill, you'll have an opportunity to do that, to mark your yes or no on a ballot. But I would hope that everyone on this committee would be in favor of letting the voters choose, letting the voters make this decision. And when you talk about that history or why, my first answer to your representative would be, if I were explaining it to my constituents, and I have, I would talk about transparency. But I would also talk about the history of this. So that for the vast majority of our state's history, 155 years of Florida's history, these elections were partisan. This is not new. This is not an anomaly. The 22 years that we're living through of nonpartisan elections is actually the historical anomaly. What I'm trying to do is switch it back. And I would say this, too, when you look at historically how we got here, and maybe this will help bring some of you with me. But in year 2000, there was an Amendment 11 put on the ballot in year 2000 in the state of Florida. It was a ballot proposed by the Florida Constitution Revision Commission, the CRC. And this was a mixed bag, right? Like many other proposals that the CRC puts on the ballot, this had 7 provisions on the ballot, right? And voters voted for 64.1% voted to switch to partisan elections. But they were voting on 7 different education proposals on the ballot. So because that ballot contained such a significant number of election issues into a single proposal, it's impossible to know which of those issues were critical to getting a voter to vote yes or no. So I think we should provide the voters with an ample opportunity to examine this single question and make a determination of whether they want this to be partisan or not. But at the end of the day, this HJR, this is not a bill. This doesn't change anything, doesn't change the law. It allows the voters to decide. And I hope you would agree that the voters should have the ultimate say.
Follow up?
So, Rep, you mentioned, thank you, Chair. You mentioned about the transparency. Can you dive a little bit more into, is there a particular area of transparency that is required? Because you said that's a major piece. Can you dive into that for me a little bit?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes. Just to go back to, you know, the first statement I made when I opened with the bill. Look, I think that the goal of the state of Florida, the goal of us as policymakers should be to afford each and every voter in the state of Florida with as much information as we can provide them about a candidate, and that includes their party affiliation. And furthermore, I mean, it really kind of offends me that someone would want to hide their party affiliation from a voter, that they want to hide from voters what they believe or what their allegiance is to, just like we have to file the Form 6 financial disclosure. Boy, that's really personal. But I think that the voter should know what your party affiliation is. And I don't understand why that's even a debate. But when I talk about transparency, I think it's the transparency of allowing a voter to know the registered political party affiliation of a candidate that they're choosing.
Representative Altman, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. It wasn't in your opening, but I think it is deserving of your presentation and discussion about the change that will take place as a result of partisan elections as it relates to primaries. I believe if you have 20 people running, they're just thrown in, then there's a runoff. Explain the difference between what will happen in this system and how you think that may be a benefit or a disadvantage to partisan elections.
Maybe a little outside the scope, but if you want to take a stab at it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. But I love that question. I do. I'm glad that the Chair allowed me to answer it. You know, that's something I really haven't thought or spoken about a lot, but the heart of your question goes to the vetting process for primaries. And I think that when you look at the level of engagement and advocacy and passion and anger that we've seen in the last 2 cycles of school board elections, one of the common refrains that you will hear from people of both parties, both major parties, is that the candidates ran and they said one thing, or they may have indicated that they were going to do something and they got elected and they didn't do what they said they were going to do. And I do think that vetting process of a primary is very important, winnowing process, a vetting process. And that's what you're asking about is how will a primary help narrow down the candidates? And I think that there is no better vetting process than the primary on each major party or an independent party in PA, Green Party, to really vet out those candidates that you want to proceed to the general election. If I understand your question correctly, you're asking about, you know, this proliferation of folks on the ballot. But I think a primary election process is key to vetting that and selecting those candidates will move forward. Thank you, sir.
Ranking Member Valdez, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and good afternoon, Rep. Roach. Can you share with me if there has been any NPAs that have won a Florida primary?
I don't know. I'm almost certain that there have been NPA primaries in the state of Florida, but I couldn't tell you off the top of my head when that was, or you know, obviously one of them would have had to win if it's two or more NPAs competing against each other. But I couldn't tell you. But I know we have had several NPAs elected in the part of the state that I represent, including one on the school board that served for 12 years.
Follow up. Can NPAs vote in primaries? Partisan primaries?
They can vote in a primary if they're running against another NPA and there's an NPA primary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. But in reference to the primary ballot, how often are there NPAs? Normally, NPAs cannot vote in primaries. They can only vote for nonpartisan seats and or resolutions. So they can't engage like every other voter out there. So I'm just trying to see if you had any idea as to, I think it's gonna lower the amount of people that will be able to run for this position, because there are a lot of NPAs out there that do run for school board because of the fact that it's a nonpartisan right now and they can participate in that. So I'm concerned, and I agree with you, let the voters decide, absolutely. But I don't think that we've really thought this out through.
Ranking Member, was there a question?
My question is, have we thought about that process if we're trying to engage more participation in partisan elections, and you have described that being an NPA is a valid party that participates, how would that affect when NPAs cannot vote on partisan elections?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. So couple points I'll address there. One, yes, I have thought it out. This is my second time with this bill. I filed the bill last year. It advanced two committee stops in the Senate, couldn't get it moving in the House. So yes, I have been thinking about this for 2 years. And then, you know, I think you may be attributing a goal to me that's not part of this bill. My goal with the bill has nothing to do with increasing voter turnout. That's a laudable goal. I support that, but that's not the goal of my bill. The goal of this bill is transparency.
Representative Nixon, you're recognized. Any additional questions? All right, seeing none, there are no amendments, and we'll move on to public testimony. I'm going to butcher this one. All right, Mary Ann Arbulu, League of Women Voters, you're recognized.
Good afternoon, members, Chair. We thank you for your time today. I'm Dr. Mary Ann Arbulu, and here on behalf of the League of Women Voters Florida, and we are in opposition to HJR 31. In 1998, voters approved a constitutional amendment in favor of nonpartisan school board elections. Therefore, this legislation serves no purpose. We do not have a problem in need of a solution. While the bill does not appear to burden local governments or school boards, either logistically or financially, it excludes NPA voters, those unable to vote in most primary elections. It reduces the number of people able to vote for a candidate of their choice if there's not an NPA primary. But the real effect of this bill is potentially to bring divisiveness to school board meetings. Party politics do not belong in school board meetings. In fact, 89% of voters are concerned about the politicalization of our schools. As a former school board member, constituents knew of my Republican Party affiliation and my conservative values. So I must question the assertion that this bill protects voters from being uninformed or deceived. Good school board governance matters for our students and parents. We make long-term decisions and have long-term consequences. School board members should be nonpartisan in every aspect of their duties, including their election. For these reasons, We ask that you vote down this bill. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Marie Claire Lehman with Fund Education Now. You're recognized.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. Fund Education Now, I'm with Fund Education Now, and we think that partisan school board elections are not good for students. School boards are apolitical for a reason, and we think that what's best for our kids is to keep politics out of our schools and out of our school boards, as the sponsor said as well. The vast majority of Floridians support public education. It must remain a nonpartisan issue. Voters want to vote for school board members who are running to make public schools better for all students, not working to move forward an ever-changing and specific political agenda. Making school board races partisan will cause divisiveness, as the previous speaker said, on our school boards, polarizing debates with no hope of reaching consensus, and drawing outside special interests money that favor extreme ideologies into these local races. We need locally elected school board members looking out for what's best for their local community, not beholden to a party agenda. We need school board members making decisions in the best interest of students, not for the leaders of a political party. Please look past the politics of this moment. Partisan school board races with their slate of party-endorsed candidates impedes local control and locally elected voice. School boards must work together as colleagues long after elections. Nonpartisan school boards are free to put students first, which is what communities want and deserve. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Representative Rachel, or Reverend Rachel Gunter Shepherd, Pastors for Florida Children and Together for Hope.
Thank you, recognized. I am also with Pastors for Florida Children and Together for Hope Rural Development Coalition, but also the parent of three Duval County public school students. And I'm here today to oppose partisan elections for members of district school board. As a parent and as a professional, I am highly concerned about the politicization of our public schools. Our children have no political party or identity. Our children have no concern about whether school board members are appeasing their political base. Our children have specific needs and sometimes unique circumstances that require a local lens, not of partisanship, but the lens provided by highly qualified individuals. Sometimes the individuals most qualified and best suited to serve our children are those individuals who have no ties to a political party. School board members who are willing to approach each issue or concern organically, those who will vote on behalf of our children and not on behalf of a political ideology, these are the kind of school board members that our children need. It is not a matter of hiding or making known one's political party or identity. It is about being willing to set that identity aside in order to do what is right for Florida students. Partisan school board races will create an us versus them mindset instead of the perspective that we are all here seeking to do what is best for our children, no matter what side of the aisle our decision might end up on. Floridians already settled this matter by approving a constitutional amendment in 1998 requiring school board races to be nonpartisan. We don't need to approach it again. Please oppose HJR 31.
Thank you for being here. Dr. Rich Templin, Florida AFL-CIO. You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon. I really sincerely want to say that I value and respect the comments from the bill's sponsor in terms of his desire to increase transparency and have a more informed electorate. My entire graduate school career and everything was around those very issues, discourse ethics, et cetera. And I'm fortunate because I work for a nonpartisan organization. We represent hundreds of thousands of registered Republicans, hundreds of thousands of Democrats, and plenty of no party affiliation voters. And I'm glad of that fact because I'm not really a political party guy. And some of my friends may not like hearing that, but I really don't care about political parties. And I mean that. And here's why, to the transparency. Political parties are a shortcut to thinking. Political parties are a shortcut to thinking. Because voters have now been kind of trained to look at the name, look at the letter after their name, and make their decision. It actually suppresses the need for individuals to dig into the candidates, to find out what the candidates are proposing, to figure out what the candidates are going to support or not support. Now, me saying that doesn't, I don't mean anything against anybody here individually that is a partisan actor. I don't mean that at all. But if we truly want transparency, we leave the system as it is, where voters don't simply just look at the letter after the name and cast their ballot for that individual based on the letter. Let's continue to encourage voters to dig into these candidates. I've got two children in Leon County Public Schools. My family works very closely with our school board. I know school board members that I know behind the scenes are on both sides of the aisle. And you know what? The process works. It works great. I can't tell you how many times I've seen issues at our school board where Democrats, Republicans work together to solve problems, to create solutions. So we just ask that you leave the system the way it is. There's not a clamoring out there. I'm sure many of you are not hearing from your voters. This is probably the last thing that you're being called about, that, dang, we really want partisan school boards. So again, with all due respect, and again, I so value the goals and intentions of the sponsor of the bill. I just don't think that this gets us there and may, in fact, be counterproductive to reach those goals. Thank you so much, Madam Chair.
Thank you for being here. Next up, Sean Frost, wishing to speak. You're recognized.
Thank you. I actually didn't even intend to speak today. I didn't even bring a suit for this trip, so I'm underdressed. My buddy Nick Tombolides with U.S. Term Limits asked if I could be here. I came and I spoke on that, and then I saw that this was on here, and I did a little media around this issue last year. And I believe that, well, first of all, League of Women Voters saying that they're nonpartisan, it might be the funniest thing I've seen in a long time.
Mr. Frost, if we could keep it to the bill.
Fair enough. Okay. So the bill is a good bill because it does represent transparency. And, you know, school boards, they say school boards are apolitical. Not any school board I've ever served on or any school board member I've spoken with. The fact of the matter is that those who say they want to get politics out of school boards, they really don't want to get all politics out of school boards. They only want to get one particular version of politics out of school boards. What this good bill would do is allow balance to the politics within our school boards. So by making this process open and transparent, and when we say that we want to do this for the kids or bring politics out, really that's just a shutdown debate tactic that says, I don't want to debate on the merits of the bill of transparency and what is best for the voters. So for that reason, you know, I think that we need to let the sun shine in and let the voters decide. And I recommend that you vote up on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. All righty. Britta Lincoln, Florida PTA, waves in opposition. Amanda Prater, Opportunity Solutions Project, waves in support. Ryan Kennedy, Florida Citizens Alliance, waves in support. And Judy Persons, waves in support. Alrighty, seeing no further public testimony, members, we are in debate. Any members wishing to debate? Representative Chambliss, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, then, even if we don't think so, even if we think that this is about transparency, which, and trust me, I think that our sponsor definitely, that is the intention. The result of it is that we will bring the extreme politics of our nation between Democrats and Republicans, which clearly and overwhelmingly exist, we will bring them to the discussions about our children. And school boards or the discussion of education for that matter, really is the, we've always wanted to keep, or at least I would say it is always best to keep that as far away from those extreme ideologies as possible, with the school board being that last bastion of hope, right? Then I was also thinking to myself, you know, I think my mom would be the best school board member that there could be. And in this scenario, she would never get an opportunity. Don't get me wrong. Her grandchildren and the rest of the family keeps her really, really busy. But I can't think of a better school board member than my mom. And she doesn't fit the bill of this scenario. She is not a Democrat. She is not a Republican. Her thoughts mix on the various issues and platforms of the two parties. If she was an NPA, I don't think that the bill necessarily, I don't think that the proposal necessarily filters out how NPAs, which are such a large portion, say, of the state of Florida, how they would actually get to a candidate, being that they all have different thoughts and perspectives. And so my mom couldn't be a school board member. As this proposal is set forth currently. So with that, I can't support this, but I think a lot of it just has to do with the fact that, besides my mom example, I want to have more conversations that include our kids and don't include party. Like, the more of that we can have when we're just parents, right? When I'm just a father and you're just a father, or you're just a mother or an uncle, or those are the conversations that I think are going to lead to a better future for our children. I think that, you know, so with that being said, I cannot support this bill. Thank you.
Representative Nixon, you're recognized.
Thanks, Madam Chair. So a few things. Rep, the voters have already decided. They decided back in 1998. I'm definitely against this bill, in opposition of this bill. I believe this bill is not about transparency at all. This bill is about making our school board elections and our school boards more contentious, more like D.C., which you honestly always try to oppose. We need to keep politics out of it. We need to keep our school boards free from politics. Freedom. We need freedom away from party politics. Freedom, right? Freedom. This is the free state of Florida. And you stated earlier that, you know, sometimes school board members promise they're going to do one thing and then do the next, like, or people that are running with no party affiliation or whatever, if it's a nonpartisan race, they promise one thing and do the next. Democrats, Republicans, they do that all the time with a D or an R next to that name. They can vote them out. We just push forth a bill that will have term limits, but let the voters decide. Let them vote them out, right? And so, like, this is absurd. It is absolutely absurd. It's just creating a climate that is contentious, that is not about our students, our children anymore. And I can't support this. And to Mr. Templin's point, no one asked for this bill. I don't know any parents that asked for this bill. As a parent of five, I don't, like, this is unnecessary. I want you to fully fund public schools. That's what I'm getting phone calls about. That's what many of us are getting emails about. And so I think we need to leave partisan politics out of education. I think we need to leave what they're doing in D.C., the craziness of the partisan politics up there in D.C., and we need to really focus on our kids here. And this bill, if you vote for this bill, you're doing the exact opposite. So I will be voting no.
Representative Basabe, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In just listening, the unfortunate fact that I think everyone needs to come to terms with is that partisanship has permeated every aspect of life and living. And I think collectively our main focus is our children, but something that we also need to consider is that school board members manage billions of dollars of tax dollars. And I, for one, would like to know, you know, how the voters feel. And this is really just about transparency, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So I will be voting up on this, and I'd like to hear from the voters. Thank you for presenting this bill.
Representative Persons-Mullico, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative, for bringing back this joint resolution and taking on this issue again. This past year was a historic year for school board races statewide. You talk about not hearing from your constituents or voters. I heard from an overwhelming number, day in and day out, clamoring for more transparency in school board races. People reached out to me every day wanting to know more about the candidates, who to vote for. We have greater engagement in school district policies and in school district issues than we've ever seen in the state of Florida before. So yes, this is an important issue to many of my constituents back home, and I have heard from them on this. They want that greater transparency. But let's also not remember that this is a joint resolution. This is not a bill. We're putting the cart before the horse. This joint resolution, if it passes, gives the voters of this great state of Florida a voice and an opportunity to weigh in on this very, very important and critical issue. It's been 25 years. I personally believe it's time to let the voters make their voice heard on whether the school board races should be partisan, just like elected superintendent races are partisan in the state of Florida. Thank you, Representative Roach. Thank you, Madam Chair, for permitting me to debate. And members, I encourage you to vote up on this great bill.
Representative Bankson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And that really sums up a lot of what I wanted to say. I wanted to again point out what you brought to us in information. It's been said the voters have already spoken, but again, this is the anomaly. This is not the standard. And that election, if I'm correct, you had said it passed by 67%, but it was a very convoluted vote at that point with many other issues. And so I think to get back to the historical standard that does bring transparency, to me, I absolutely agree that that is one of the main issues that I had voters talk with me about, because what we have seen has produced some of the greatest ideological divide, and they really want to get back to education. So we really need to just let the voters speak. And for me, that's what this allows. It is a House joint resolution. I think if we remember that, this isn't a bill. This is putting it back to our voters in a very specific way, and we will hear their voice. And I'm content to hear what the voters have to say, and we can go accordingly from there. So thank you for this bill, or this HJR.
Ranking Member Valdez, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. And what I'm hearing here today is that the Floridians aren't smart enough to do their research. What are we saying about the Floridians that, you know, they can't do the research on what party the one person is involved in or the other? Think about what some of the comments that we've said here today. I think we have pretty smart people in the state of Florida to be able to pick up their computer right here, go to the supervisor of elections office in their site, and see what party affiliation people are. That can happen right now. So what we're saying is that Floridians are dumb, that they don't know how to do this.
See, Representative Altman, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. You know, partisanship, we can talk about it, but the reality is it's something that's established in our basic democracy and our constitutional government. It all stems in our right to assemble, that individuals that have like ideas can assemble and choose within their ranks somebody that they would like to have them represent them on the ballot. I think any anti-partisan elections is sort of anti that right that we have to assemble. Any group should have the right to choose somebody to be on the ballot to represent them, whether it's the Green Party, the Democrat Party, the Libertarian Party, the Republican Party. That's as basic to our American way as the history of our country. Something happened that sort of affected my decision, because it sounds good. Nonpartisan elections sounds good. But the reality, the world doesn't work that way. I remember, and I can speak from authority here, because I don't think there's any school board more divisive in the state than the Brevard County School Board. And we were nonpartisan, so-called nonpartisan. But I'll never forget going to the election, seeing something I'd never seen before. At one of our precincts, a number of our precincts, as a matter of fact, it was a pop-up tent that said, "Democrat voters report here." And what they were doing is they were pulling people into the tent and telling them which members were Democrats in the so-called nonpartisan race. And so the candidates that really embraced the concept of nonpartisanship and didn't talk about what party they were working at a distinct disadvantage. And the ones that weren't really following the spirit of the rule had a distinct advantage, and they won a number of elections they probably wouldn't have. So really, I do agree that transparency is a key part of this bill, and it is also fairness and equity that let's be out there. Let's don't try to go around the fact. Put it out there, run partisan. I think that's a much fairer way of doing it. It's what's kind of being done anyway now. I support the bill, or the joint resolution.
Right, seeing no further debate, Representative Roach recognized to close.
Thank you, Madam Chair, colleagues. I'll try to be brief in my close, but I wanted to outline four reasons why I think you should vote up on this joint resolution today. First, as I've mentioned several times, is transparency. Government in the sunshine, we're proud of that. If you feel the need to hide who you are from voters to get elected, that's a fundamental problem. The transparency piece to me is fundamental. This idea that school boards now are nonpartisan and these races are nonpartisan, one of the speakers mentioned, oh, this is going to result in parties endorsed candidates. Someone said the process is working. That's an absolute legal fiction. Do you think they're nonpartisan now? The governor endorsed, I think, close to 30 candidates in the last race. His opponent, former Congressman Chris, did the same, as well as a slew of statewide leaders and members of this elected body endorsed school board candidates. That's not nonpartisan. And furthermore, I would say that if you look at the two major parties, there are real fundamental differences in curriculum and a philosophy about embracing or denying school choice and bathroom issues in schools and fiscal responsibility, how to be stewards of taxpayer funds. Those are real differences that voters should be able to vote on. And you talk about, oh, this is going to result in extremism. And for those of you around the state who are saying no one's asking for this is not happening, I'm not going to say you're living under the rock, but you come down to Lee County prior to Hurricane Ian, dissatisfaction with the Lee County School Board was the number one issue in voters' minds. We passed a referendum last year that passed with close to 65% of the electorate to change our superintendent to a partisan elected position. We had four incumbents that were up for re-election. Three of them did not survive the process. Only one made it back. We had people getting arrested at school board meetings. One person got drug out by their hair. We had thousands of people attending these school board meetings for going on 2 years now. So this was actually asked for by my constituents in Lee County. This has been the number one issue for Lee County voters prior to Hurricane Ian making landfall in late September. And finally, I would say this. It's not that I don't think voters are smart enough. I would say the opposite. If you think voters are smart enough, why are you afraid to let voters decide? I'm not trying to say the voters shouldn't decide. I'm trying to say let's let the voters vote on this. And you are not voting here today on the merits of partisan school board elections. The question that you are voting on is who gets to decide. I would argue that the voters should get to decide. And I'm going to end by quoting my esteemed colleague, Representative Nixon, when she said, "Let the voters decide." Members, I ask for your support. Thank you.
Representative Roach, having closed on the bill, Misty, please call the roll.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Amnesty?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Wasabi?
Yes.
Chambliss?
No.
Dunkley?
No.
Garcia?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Nixon?
No.
Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Horace?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Valdez?
No.
Waldron?
No.
Hertug?
Yes. Members, by your vote, show that bill reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative. That concludes our agenda for today. Members, as a reminder, our subcommittee will meet next Friday, February 24th, from 9 to 11 a.m. And that concludes today's agenda. Seeing no further business, Representative Porras moves we rise.